ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, the Cougar Womp Womp, if unfamiliar with it, synonymous specifically with U of H basketball. Been some time since we caught up with the Cougars head coach, Kelvin Sampson, so we do it now ahead of Houston and Syracuse in the Sweet 16, a game of great importance to both of us, but look, more so for the coach. Been doing a different show, a different style for a while, Kelvin, so very much appreciate you coming on. And I wanted to start a little off track, the passing of Elgin Baylor, a bona fide basketball legend and man last night, which made me think just in advance of having you on, did you have a foremost first basketball hero as a kid or in your formative years?
Oscar Robertson. I was a big O fan. I think when I was a kid, 10, 11, 12, that would have been 65, 66, 67. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West. Elgin Baylor was kind of toward the tail end of his career, but he was known as the most talented guy in the NBA. He was the forerunner of Michael Jordan, the sleek wing athlete that had all the moves that just could really score. And I know, having been in the NBA, NBA players held him in high regard. Everybody respected Elgin Baylor. That was a magical, magical name in the NBA archives.
Kelvin Sampson with us on the program. Two tournaments ago, second round. Last tournament, Sweet 16. The next step is now on the table for you. Can you speak to some, obviously a different squad, but fulfilling of higher expectations and the Cougar brand, and here you are with a tremendous opportunity at 26-3.
Yeah, no, I'm good. We're one of those teams, Charlie, that we play the style we have to play. You know, Syracuse is a good team, difficult to play against. But we think so are we. You know, we're not easy to play against either. You know, sometimes it takes us a while to hit our stride. It takes us a while to figure it out. But like any team, if you're not making shots, you're going to struggle. But that doesn't mean you're playing bad. It means you're not making shots. You know, the other night we had some untimely turnovers and they hit some big threes. I think our guys are conditioned not to overreact to any of that stuff. You know, we're going to have, during the course of a game at this level, you're not playing against teams you're going to beat by 20 or 25. Every game is going to be close. Rutgers beat Illinois. Rutgers beat Michigan State by 30. Rutgers beat Maryland. Rutgers beat Syracuse. I mean, we weren't playing Sisters of the Poor. We're playing a really, really good team. And we jumped off to a good lead early, got off to a good start. And then as the game wore on, here they came. They came right back at us. And then at the end, you know, we figured out a formula, getting the ball in the glass and going to get it. You know, we played our small lineup a lot. It was one of those nights that seemed like we had to throw a lot of stuff against the wall to see what would stick. And we finally found something. And Tremont Mark, Dejon, Quentin, Marcus, we played those four guys together with Fabian. And that was the lineup we stuck with, but it took us a while to get there.
Quentin Grimes, outstanding, as third-team All-Americas are wont to be. Dejon Giroux, obviously getting a lot of attention, grinding through the hip, 32 minutes, 17 points. And I think the very first time I might have had you on down here, Kelvin, it might have been when you were filling in for Kevin McHale. It might have been your first year with the Cougars. But I made a reference, I don't know, maybe it's a little early credibility builder of that old deodorant commercial you were part of with Cal and Jim Herrick. Never let him see you sweat. Having gone to a lot of Cougar games the last couple of years, I thought of that commercial when I would see Dejon Giroux because I know he made the coach sweat. I thought of him as an untamed colt who would always play his heart out. Breathtaking effort and want to, but he would just make some decisions. Just the growth of a player that I know you'd be. He's arrived.
Yeah, no. The thing about Dejon is he's grown so much as a player. You know, we track efficiency rating. know, shot selection, you know, what is our efficiency rating per 100 possessions when you are on the floor? And that says a lot about shot selection, hockey assists, ball reversals, you know, our efficiency, how we're scoring the ball while you're out there on the court. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if I've ever had a kid that has made as much improvement over the course of his career. You know, he was hit or miss early in his career. He's either really good or he's really bad. And you could tell which way he was going. If he's really good, you left him out. If he's bad, you got him out. You know, and that, and sometimes he benefited, sometimes to our detriment. But I've got to where I trust him. His teammates trust him. And some guys play better with injuries. It makes them focus. And I think Dejan's one of those guys. Tremont Mark, I think, really feeds off of Dejan. You know, Quentin's kind of in his own world out there sometimes. He just grabs it and shoots it. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we've got a good team. Everybody kind of fits. We're all connected. And that makes them fun to coach. You know, who knows? I mean, we could have lost the other night. You know, Syracuse could have lost to West Virginia. Anybody could lose this time of year. There's no shocks. You know, it's fortunate we're getting to play. But that chance to get to the Elite Eight, fortunate to be in this position, we're going to do the best we can to advance.
Talk with Cougars head coach Kelvin Sampson. To the matchup Saturday, of course, the Syracuse zone is always a storyline. In a one-off situation, I mean, it routinely just messes people. Is it fundamentally, along with having guys who can play it, though it's not a vintage Syracuse defensive squad, is it the lack of familiarity and stuff just snowballs against teams? I mean, San Diego State is good. 240% three-point shooters, and it's like they had a basketball nervous breakdown. West Virginia, elite offensive team, two different five-minute droughts in the game. What's the biggest challenge in getting after that zone?
It's not your offense per se. It's your personnel. I think you got to have guys in the high post that can pass and feel comfortable making decisions. Somebody's going to be open as soon as the ball gets to the high post. Down the low post, down the wing, maybe a guy in the corner. But you can't take 5 seconds to figure it out. You got like 0.5 seconds, you know, less than a second to make that decision. And do you have somebody that can do that? You know, the easiest thing in the world is to say what you should do. You know, the village idiot can figure out what to do. That's not the problem. The problem is you have that personnel. You know, it's like you need a Magic Johnson to make the entry pass. You need a Magic Johnson to get in the high post and make decisions. Then you need a Larry Bird and a Steph Curry in the corners to shoot it. You know, you got those kind of personnel. It ain't no problem attacking that zone. Easy.
Hey,
not everybody's got that. Not everybody has that personnel.
One guy I'm curious about, Kelvin, your assessment of Fabian White, amazing that he's even gotten back the timetable at which he did. He's averaging roughly 15 minutes per game, but I think of him as a candidate. The mid-range jumper is in his sweet spot as a guy maybe who could do some damage for you. What kind of workload do you think he's built up to handle?
We played Washington last year. We beat them in the championship game at the Rainbow Classic, and their head coach was Boeheim's assistant, close to 20 years. And he ran that same zone against us, and Fabian was a really big part of that, is getting underneath the front of the zone, playing right behind it, and maybe to make that shot. And then when they adjust and just spitting it out to the corners or to the wings, then you got to make that shot, you know. But, you know, we're going to have a good plan. Hopefully our kids are making shots and moving it, but Syracuse has an excellent zone. I think Boeheim is the best in the world at teaching the 2-3 zone. That's all they do. You know, they work on that zone. They know how. They've seen a million ways to attack it. But like anything else, you got to play well, but it's beatable.
Attention grabbing to you the way Buddy Boeheim, obviously son of coach, has just been going crazy lately. Now, your defense is locked down, but I presume he's a little bonus point of emphasis for you.
You know, first time I saw him, he was probably 16. I saw him at the Nike AAU event in Augusta, Georgia. I didn't know who he was. I was watching another team, and it happened to be playing. And I looked down at my roster, and I saw Boeheim. And you could tell I mean, I've known Jim forever. So I said, guy, kind of looks like Jim and his wife. I said, that must be Jim's son. And I thought he's pretty good. And then I didn't think nothing of him again until I saw that he signed with him. But you talk about gotten better. I mean, he's legit. You've got to put someone on him that totally focuses on not letting him get his shoulder square. If he gets his shoulder square and you get the ball off, you think it's going to go in because he's a perfect shooter. And the further out you push him, the further out he'll shoot it. I mean, he's got range out to 35 feet. And his light is lime green, fluorescent green. He shoots it whenever he wants because he is a great shooter.
Two other things. I think for the most part on the lighter side, obviously it's not personal. You just referenced that you know Jim Boeheim for a long time. Do I have it right? The only game you matched up, I would think probably one of the more annoying losses of your career in that as a number one seed, you had to play them in a regional final in Albany in 2003.
Yeah. My best score on that team was playing with a broken hand. We had just won the Big 12 tournament. It means we played three games in 3 days, and Hollis Price tore his groin. And Quanis White was the station point guard. So we had zero chance against their zone because we couldn't get inside the zone, and we were the walking wounded. But you know what? We shot ourselves in the foot on senior day. I think we were ranked second or third or fourth. I can't remember in the nation. We got a one seed, but we lost to Texas on senior day. I think we missed 8 free throws in the last 3 minutes. We lost to Texas. They got the one seed in San Antonio, and they rode that to the Final Four in New Orleans that year. And then we got the one seed, but we got sent to Albany, New York. And we beat Butler, who had just beat Louisville and Mississippi State. We beat Butler. And then now we're playing Syracuse, which I think is 75 minutes from Albany. And I think there are 17,000 people in that building, 1,500 Sooner fans, and 16,000 Syracuse fans for the one seed versus the five seed. But they weren't a five seed. They beat Texas, they beat Kansas, they beat Oklahoma State, and they beat Oklahoma. They won the Big 12 in 2 weeks.
I do remember it well. And lastly, obviously COVID conditions have screwed up a whole bunch of things for the last year. Has there ever been a moment with the relaxed coaching dress code where you missed having a tie to rip off?
You know, that was difficult. There's a lot more difficult things. It was unusual. For me, you know, when there's certain things that happen in a game, maybe a whistle or lack of execution or lack of effort, something that'll trigger me, and I'll reach up for my tie. And I did that for about 15, 20 games. But now I've kind of gotten used to it. My dad was a high school coach, and I always thought he always wore a coat and tie. He never wore a suit. And then I found out he didn't wear a suit because he couldn't afford it. So he just wore a pair of slacks, and he wore a sports coat and a white shirt and a black tie. That's what he would wear. But he said the coach should respect the game and wear a coat and tie. But, you know, he was a coach in the 50s and 60s, and he was old school. So that's why I wanted to do it. And I may go back to it next year, who knows. But I've kind of gotten used to it. Wearing the polo and the jogging pants. It kind of feels comfortable. I'll tell you where it comes in handy is when the game's over. Usually I change into that. But when the game's over, I'm already wearing it, so I'm good to go.
And diminishes the possibility of an absurd technical for just taking your towel off when upset at your team.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about throwing my coat. When I was a young coach, I used to get technicals for throwing the coat. I threw the coat at a referee one night in Canada. Showed you how bad I was. I tried to trip him, and I missed. Then I've had technicals for. Well, I've only had one technical for throwing my tie, and that was at Temple. All those years, I had one technical, but I think that one was a little personal with that guy.
Ah, gotcha. Kelvin Sampson, head coach at U of H. Well, no hidden agenda. I'm a Syracuse guy, so obviously I have the vested rooting interest. But if we're going to be,
I knew you were coming.
If we're going to be taken out. I'd rather it be Saturday than in the regional final, because it would mean that the Cougars have advanced if it's not to be my Orange. So best of luck, certainly. And as always, I appreciate the time. And, hey, maybe we're talking about the Cougs to the Final Four next week.
Okay, Charlie. Thanks for having me on.
Kelvin Sampson, head coach at U of H. All right, need to quick get caught up legally with the feds here past the top of the hour. Back half of the program to set up as we go, making our way until press box time at 1 o'clock. 12:03 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.